Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Lotus, and we are continuing our journey through all of the different mainline, main quest stories in ESO. And Lotus, I noticed that we did Orsinium, we did the Thieves Guild, the next in line was the Brotherhood, but we're going to have to hold off on that because we skipped over the Imperial City. Molag Bal attacks the Imperial City, and we didn't even cover it yet. So let's go back and talk about that. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, when you brought this up, it actually reminded me. It was like, oh, that's a really good point, because something that we've mentioned on Tales of Tamriel many, many times, the Imperial City, the story that we're going to be talking about, takes place in a PvP zone. Now, granted, there's PvE stuff, including the storyline we're going to be talking about, but everything is just like, you can get jumped by the other factions while doing this.
So people tend to kind of skip over it, like or they'll do it on the side, but they won't pay too much attention to the actual dialogue and stuff because they're like in a hurry to go finish the next thing. And it's a stressful situation to try to do the story stuff in the midst of a zone where you can get jumped.
Yes, basically just PvP combat is potentially always on, which is not the most conducive way to get a storyline. And, you know, one of the big things is PvP has its place in the Elder Scrolls Online, but there's a reason that the focus is not on the PvP, and it's on the more traditional style Elder Scrolls, single player or cooperative, adventuring through stories and zones and stuff like that. Like, it didn't have the draw, but it's a shame because the story is pretty cool. It's got some good characters and there's a lot to it. So like, I'm glad that you brought this up so that we actually could tackle this. This is a story that a lot of people kind of miss, and it really shouldn't be.
Yeah. So there are other quests and things you can do in the zone, but this is just the main story. And we're going to go through each of the steps in the story like we have been in the last few episodes. And this kicks off with a quest called City on the Brink. And depending on your faction, because remember, it's a PvP zone, you have to enter in differently with different factions, and you are pitted against the other two factions when you come in. There are three ways that this quest line plays out, but they can all be summed up basically by saying that for each faction, you talk to a captain, they all have different names, who gives you a quest, you head into the Imperial City, and then you meet the general, and you speak with Drake.
The Drake of Blades.
Oh, wait, I thought, like, the musician?
The Drake of Blades probably is a musician.
But not like Drake, who like you can listen to on Spotify or on the radio.
Yeah.
Not like that
or
Drake.
Or you watch when they were a child actor on Degrassi or something like that.
Okay. So now the Drake of Blades is who you actually talk to, but now that's actually Drake in my head. My headcanon is now that this is Drake. You might be wondering, who's the Drake of Blades? Well, Drake is a socially awkward Imperial and a member of the Dragon Guard. She hopes, it's a she, to save the Imperial City from being pulled into Cold Harbor, although she has no stake in the Alliance War. And this is part of why it doesn't matter which faction you are with. Once you actually interact with the Drake of Blades, then you move on to the rest of the series of quests, which are all basically the same for everybody.
Yeah, it's just kind of like to give you a little context from your side. But the story, like you said, plays out the same way. Also, the Drake of Blades is a very unique, I don't know, I find the Drake of Blades to be a very unique character. Writing wise, just very, does not fit your standard mold of like somebody as a quest giver, somebody as a hero. Like, it's, I really thought that Drake of Blades was written very creatively. It just feels so like she feels socially awkward, which is kind of interesting as somebody who like basically needs to lead you through this experience. And it's like, she really doesn't know how to interact with other people, which is pretty interesting from a character perspective.
And I'm sure a lot of us can identify with that. So it's part of the fun. So you move on from that quest. You take on the second quest, which is called the Imperial Standard. And here's the description. You meet an Imperial soldier, Zelanus Equitius. Equitius, I think, is how it's pronounced.
Yeah. Equitius. Sure.
Who asks you to aid his captain, Codex, in defending the improvised garrison, words are hard, in the Imperial City from Molag Bal's forces, because Molag Bal is attacking the city, and this is very evident when you get there. The garrison has three doors, north, west, and south, and must be defended against waves of Daedra and Legion Zero traitors. Each door has five waves of enemies, and the final wave features a boss. You help defend the doors, and after a successful defense, you are rewarded with a chest. This is a, like, basically hold out as stuff pours in and fight everything.
Right.
And then, yeah. And then you get a reward. Captain Codex reveals that he and his soldiers are protected by an ancient scroll given to him by a priest, Father Ignatius.
Ignatius.
It's not a Q, it's a G.
Ignatius.
It's Ignatius. Yes. Okay. So.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced Ignatius.
Pronunciation is hard. The scroll grants them the ability to return after dying, though they lose parts of themselves each time. I know how it feels. Wait a minute. Codex shares prophetic dreams that warned of Molag Bal's invasion and mentioned to you and the masked Drake of Blades. He gives you the scroll, asks you to take it to the Drake, believing it to be the key in stopping Molag Bal's plans. You are then tasked with returning the scroll to the Drake of Blades and reporting what transpired in the Nobles District. So you hold off everything, you get the scroll, you take it to Drake, you move on, finish the quest.
Drop a couple sweet beats and then move on.
You deliver the sweet beats directly to Drake, who then turns it into a song.
Exactly. One thing to note about these, which is something that's kind of interesting, I think all of these are, it's been a while since I've tried to just do them in generic rotation, but one thing to note is you can actually, if you're just in the Imperial City, it's worth noting, these quests basically give storyline context to these events that are happening in the different districts. But these events are recurring if you want to just do them. I don't want to call them public events, but they're basically like group public events that you can get involved with lots of other people too, which is pretty cool when you've got the context of the story. Like when you're holding out against that siege, other people can come and help you during this. It's because this is still at the point when veteran ranks were a thing. The subscription model was still how the game was being marketed. It was much, much more with the MMO first type of thing going at this point. So like the idea was to just get you to meet up with others, let's form a party, let's do something else. So these will oftentimes kind of like still be happening. And even if you are not doing the story, you can run into somebody else doing their story and kind of get involved with the fights and stuff, which makes them, it's something I actually wish happened a little more frequently nowadays. I know a lot of people, you know, didn't really matter to them and whatnot, but I found it made some pretty interesting events, and you'd meet sometimes some people you'd end up doing dungeons and stuff with in the long run.
Yeah, it's if you look at the history of MMOs in general and the development of them, and then the launch of this one came a good decade after WoW really became a thing already. So that model was already transitioning from these like forced environments that forced you to actually meet up with other people and do stuff, and was kind of transitioning out of that. And then over the last decade now, MMOs have been less and less about like manually connecting with other people and more about like auto join group doing dungeon, leave immediately as soon as it's done, and like have streamlined everything. And it does take away some of that, like, hey, you're just going to run into people and maybe you'll team up and maybe you'll make friends. That doesn't happen as much anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right, let's get back to the quest line. The next quest is called The Bleeding Temple, and Drake is searching for Father Ignatius, a priest valuable to Molag Bal, who is constantly being moved and tortured by Daedra. This is what happens. To locate him, Drake suggests rescuing three clergy members who are also being tormented at shrines around the city. After freeing them, you learn that Ignatius is being held in the Temple of the One. You meet Drake, who warns you that the temple is heavily guarded by Daedra. Upon entering, you confront a Zivkin named Xotos Vel, who is torturing Ignatius to extract information about a mysterious scroll. After defeating her, a Daedric Titan named Uzurus crashes through the ceiling for a tougher battle. Once victorious, you free Ignatius, who escapes during a distraction set by Drake. Drake's the real MVP here.
Drake is totally the MVP here.
Ignatius explains that the Daedra were interrogating him about a scroll he found shortly before the city's invasion. Although it's not an Elder Scroll, it holds significant power, and he believes it is connected to Molag Bal's plans. He gives you key information about the scroll, noting that he may be one of the few capable of unlocking its power. After rescuing Ignatius, your next task is to report back to Drake for your reward. And then you kind of, you can do in this loop thing where you're going back and getting your reward.
Yeah, you check back in with the Drake Blades after your like mission is completed.
I love that all these people are just being tortured and you're like, I guess I'll go help them out.
I really just like the idea of being moved around and tortured, because even though it's absolutely not the scenario, all I picture is of just like moving from one location and just like whacking them with like a 2x4 and then just like, all right, now bring them over there. And they just like push them in a puddle of mud and then they pick them up and just bring them to another place and chuck them in a trash can.
Or just like tie them to the back of a horse and being like, all right, let's go that way. And they're like, just being dragged around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
just from one location of annoyance to another.
Like, yeah. All right. So the next quest is called The Watcher in the Walls. To start the quest, you find a note from The Rat in the Arena District, expressing boredom with the lack of proper gladiator fights. The Rat promises to reveal information about Molag Bal's plans if you entertain him by killing Daedra in the Imperial Arena, particularly the Ringmaster's champions. In the arena, you first face a giant clanfear called the Devourer, followed by a harvester named Uzai, and then a powerful ogrim named Migoruz. After defeating them, the Ringmaster herself joins the fight, summoning Flame Atronachs to aid her. After she is defeated, the games are paused, and the Rat approaches you. The Rat reveals that Molag Bal's plan is to permanently extinguish the dragon fires, preventing any future mortal emperor from reigniting them and restoring the covenant with Akatosh. This would leave the world in a state of eternal death and slavery under Daedric rule. Beautiful things, right?
Beautiful.
The Rat directs you to share this information with Drake, who is, of course, at your alliance base, and you deliver the information there. You get critical information back to the Drake of Blades, and you get another reward, and it wraps up. So this is basically like one of those, like, you show up, there's an arena, and the arena fights happen, and then you move on.
Yeah, it's basically sort of like these arena fights are very much like sort of like a world boss type of thing. Kind of just not much more than that, but I do find it funny that you largely just do check-ins and then kind of come back.
Yeah, that's kind of the loop that gets going here. So the next quest is called Of Brands and Bones, and Drake here is investigating the worm cult in the Memorial District, where there are raised corpse, or where the worm cult is raising corpse and digging at random locations. She suspects they are searching for something important and asks you to find out what. You are tasked with stealing a Daedric brand and a chapel key from worm cultists, then using the brand on a skeleton in the defiled chapel of Arcay to uncover its orders. The skeleton reveals that the cult is searching for the Dragonfire Cathedral and aims to snuff out the light. This plays into Molag Bal's thing about putting out the fires.
Yep.
After reporting back to Drake at the Undertaker's office, she explains that the Dragonfire Cathedral is a legendary place said to house a relic given by Akatosh to Alessia. Molag Bal seems to be after this relic, but the Drake remains skeptical of the cathedral's existence. Regardless, she orders you to sabotage the cult's excavation efforts at the crematorium where they are digging for the cathedral. To destroy the dig site, you collect concentrated Kindle pitch from Zivkin Soulbranders in the area and plant it at an excavation site. After setting off the explosives and demolishing the dig, you return to the Alliance for your reward, having disrupted their operations. And I love this idea of like this ancient cathedral that is somehow buried, I guess, due to time or construction, and they're trying to dig this up.
Right. And it's a theme that we've encountered before with these dragon fires. It's now been brought up more than once, where it's like the idea is that these dragon fires keep, you know, some of these Daedric invasions at bay. And as a result, everybody wants to knock out these dragon fires. You know, obviously, there's a reference. We've seen this in the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. But again, a lot of times we'll see precursors to what happens later in the series during the Interregnum, which is where Elder Scrolls Online takes place. Case in point, the Imperial Library is getting nuked in the Imperial City while we're here. Like, you can see the pages falling around and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just kind of cool that you see like the precursor of like, okay, let's take out these dragon fires so I can invade. And the goal is once again to stop that, because that's no good.
It's no good. It's right out.
No good. Right out. Right out the window.
I also love how if you were just listening to me describe this quest and had never played any Elder Scrolls games, had no sense about the lore or anything, it would sound like gibberish. Like, I mean, just take this sentence. The Drake of Blades, what the heck is that, is investigating the worm cult. Like, if I just replace these words with analogs, it just sounds like garbage, right? Like, the Doctor of Swords is investigating the wiggle cultists in the
noodlearium.
Noodlearium, and they are raising corpses and digging at random locations. Like, what? Yep. You are tasked with stealing a monstrophic brand from the castle key of the it just like just sounds like garbage, right? Like, I'm just making this crap up out of the top of my mind. The Wiggles are a cult. Yeah, there you go.
It's true.
In the noodlearium. But like it, I love that, like, it just gets into these specific words that are just hold no meaning if you don't understand, which
is, you need the context of the lore of the series for this, right, to not just be like, what are they saying?
Right. Like, if I went to ChatGPT and I was like, okay, make up a fantasy world and a bunch of fantasy words and then work them into a quest description for a video game, it would sound very similar to something like this, right? Like, it, like, what is all that? Well, if you didn't play the games, you don't know. So I guess that's why we have a podcast about the lore of the Elder Scrolls. So that's about halfway through the quest line. But Lotus, how do you feel about this part so far? Like, working through these quests, dealing with the Daedra, this invasion?
So one of the things that I really like about this quest line, which I hope is sort of coming across, is it's more of a, it's funny because one of the things I found interesting about the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion is the fact that you were kind of like a supplementary character to let the main character save the day.
Right. You were not the last of the line of Dragonborn kings. You were,
you're helping fulfill a prophecy that you are not the main antagonist. Like, you're not the protagonist.
Right. You're not Martin, basically.
No, like, you're not. Yes, you're like, not Martin.
If this had been written at a different time, you might have been Martin in this quest, in the story.
Right. And it's like, you know, so in this situation, I found it interesting because, again, yes, okay, you're always this hero. We save a million zillion things already. This comes canonically as much as it can be after we controlled the soul burst. This is kind of like another attempt at Molag Bal being like, all right, let's try this now. Interestingly enough, the Drake of Blades is sort of the main character here. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of helping. And it's she's the one spearheading this. And it's kind of like, okay, I need your help to do this, but I'm the one that's actually orchestrating a lot of this. And I like that because it's sort of like another Oblivion callback, because we had mentioned the previous one with the dragon fire. Yeah. I felt that this whole thing was an interesting nod to the Elder Scrolls IV. And just more like little bits like that. And I always like being the hero. That's cool. I sometimes like the story to not necessarily have to be me as the focus. And I feel this one is a little more unique in that, where it's just like, this battle's taking place. You need to help them just survive it. We need this to go down. So it's like, okay, yeah, you can be the distraction. You can do this. But it's the Drake of Blades kind of leading the charge here, I think.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. The other thing that I like about this zone is, in so many of the regions that we play through, every time they've got a new expansion, we play through another region. Heck, even if you just consider the original zones, it's like every zone has, if you were to like look at a map and then place the enemies in the map, 80% of the map has something dangerous happening. Right. Like, there's monsters over here. There's people raiding over here. There's sea creatures fighting on the shores over here, whatever. Right. That seems, I don't know, like too many dangerous things happening to have an actual society that functions all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels, yeah. But it also doesn't feel critical. It doesn't feel particularly dangerous, more just like, hey, watch out because there's wild creatures over here, or there's
wild inconveniences everywhere.
Right. Whereas when you're in the Imperial City, it feels like this place is getting sieged and you could be attacked at any moment by Daedra or competing people from the other faction or whatever. It like there's constantly absolutely this justification for why everything feels so dangerous. And it does. Like, there's this sense of like, okay, when I head out on this mission, hopefully everything works out, or maybe I'm going to make sure I bring some friends with me because this could go south real quick. And there's a real sense of like actual danger, which is kind of unique for ESO.
And there is, and the only thing that I can always sympathize with the other side that isn't a big fan of that whole aspect of the PvP, one thing which, you know, it's fine, I can suspend my, you know, disbelief for a lot of this stuff, where even when I'm trying to be immersed and just kind of playing my game and stuff, but I will say, if you ever get like jumped while you're doing a quest or something like this by like Reef Dog XXX 420 no scope, it's kind of like, man, my epic quest was just ended by some dude who's just playing blaringly loud music into his headphones right now. Right, and right. Is wildly baked
and just teabagging everybody after you
kill and just them. Teabagging yeah. me like yeah. relentlessly after right. I was slain while trying to save the world.
Yeah thanks Dragon Slayer 240. 420. Yeah, so that's a better number. 420.69.
240.
240. I just erased the letters or the numbers. And oh God, words and numbers.
Incredible.
Who allows me to talk in front of a microphone? Oh God.
So yeah, like that's the only thing that is why it can be a bit of a turnoff, because otherwise I totally agree with you. Like, the threat is much higher in this area, which is really cool.
Because
the stakes tend to not always be that high.
Right. And we've talked about this before. I wouldn't mind if the threat wasn't PvP, if the threat was just like roving bands of numbers of monsters that are a little bit more harder to kill because there's more of them. And even a low level player could like work their way around them and not aggro them. But like at least some sense of like real danger in the world is helpful. And I've seen, this could be a whole tangent, but I've seen a number of posts recently online about people saying like, hey, does this game ever get any harder for overworld content?
Right.
And we know their official line is no, they want to keep it low and easy for anybody to jump in. Yeah, and that some people still have problems with the difficulty, but yeah.
It's
and
the group it's, content that they want you to get into if you're looking for something difficult.
I get it.
The only thing I will say is the roaming world bosses. There are these like roaming super creatures. They're basically just like world bosses, but they're different ones assigned to different districts and stuff like that. They are much, much more complicated to take down than many of the world bosses, which is an added PvP or PvE threat, like you mentioned, where you can either try to escape them or take them out, but it's a lot more effort to take those ones out compared to some of the others.
Right. Yeah, I never find that they're much of a threat. I mean, you guys just run away.
Yeah, well, that's yes.
That's the other thing. Is that like
you can just
it's not out. Like it's the difference is in the Imperial City, sometimes you're in an area where there's a bunch of houses and some walls, and there's no easy way out of your zone unless you know the route to go. So if you're exploring a new area and you were to come across something dangerous, the escape is a little bit more tricky, at least the first time you explore the zone. I think there's that feeling, right? Of like, it's not just a big open area. It's for like sure. These little walled areas where you could get stuck and then have to fight things and then move on. Or maybe you need to get past them in order to get into the next zone. So you're going to have to go through them. So you're at least going to have to fight some of them, you know. But, you know, the more you play the game, the more you realize that you can just run past things. Eventually they de-aggro and you just keep running. So
yeah, or you just set up a rotation where you can actually just nuke these things with right. enough practice right, where it right. becomes a much, much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. But back in the day, the zone was a lot harder than it is now.
Oh, for sure. So yeah. It's become easier over time.
Right. So, all right. Well, let's go thank our patrons and then we'll come back and we'll continue the rest of the quest line. Here we go.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had 3 jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are. We've got some new patrons to shout out. Patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. If you want to go check out all the different stuff you can get, like these people, Brian the Snape, Sam, Michael P, Conrad, and Manuel S. Welcome to the Patreon. So glad that you decided to join us. We really do appreciate the support, and thank you for just checking it out, taking the time to listen to the show, and deciding to toss in a little bit of money and get some cool stuff like free ad-free episodes or stickers or t-shirts or joining us on Patreon chats. There's all sorts of stuff you can go check out. Also, speaking about our other Patreon members, we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Blinding Vision, Hircine, Just a Little Bit of Chaos, Kiracy, and Peter R. Thank you so much for your support. And
thanks, everyone.
Yeah, and if we had any new reviews this week, we would read them out. So if you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read out your review on the next episode as soon as it shows up in my little feed. And if you want to rate the show on Spotify, that would be helpful as well. Sharing it with your friends, all of that stuff keeps us going, and we really do appreciate it. And the plan is for us to get, like, I love the ESO updates, but I am so ready for Elder Scrolls 6. And I know we're probably still a good few years off still, hopefully only 1 or 2, but it's probably closer to 3 or 4. But, you know, we're planning to still be here. We want to keep going through all the different details that we possibly can. And then when that game comes out, we want to be your source for talking about it. So hopefully in a few years time, you'll still be sticking around.
I just one of the things I well, two things I just wanted to give a shout out in this section for. One, we're actually less than 200 reviews away from 1,000 on Spotify. Wow. So it's a lot of stars. And I just always like to say that I know it only takes a couple seconds, but I appreciate all of you that take the time to like actually do that. That's very nice of you. And the other thing, just as a question to pose to all our listeners, do you think The Elder Scrolls 6 will be an Xbox exclusive or not?
Oof. Oh, they seem to be adjusting their plans with
they sure do. More recent games. And so I was in a small group that said, I think they are going to keep it multi-platform. And it seemed like maybe that wasn't going to be the case, but now maybe it might be the case. I curious on other people's thoughts as more is unfolding.
Yeah, I also have to wonder, is there going to be a new console generation before the game
before it lands? Also, to Hircine's point in chat, I would consider PC still like an Xbox exclusive because it's Microsoft.
Yeah,
I should definitely say Microsoft exclusive. Let me rephrase.
It'll absolutely be on PC. And
without a doubt,
it'll definitely be on PC. It'll definitely be on Xbox. The question is it on PlayStation?
And maybe a Nintendo thing.
And no, there's no way. Even if Nintendo releases a Switch, the hardware.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They're not going to update that. They're going to be so far behind. Yeah. Anyway, that was a fun little aside. Let us know your thoughts. Comment or join us on the Discord. Let us know your thoughts. I'd love to hear all the different perspectives, and we'll see who gets it closer to accurate. And hopefully it won't be that much longer. I mean, it's still a few years, but you know how this stuff goes. Before we know it, we'll be like in the future and be like, hey, where did all the time go? So that's how time works, I guess. All right, let's continue with the rest of the show. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child. out of cities. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
Yeah, all right. So we'll continue that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
It's still going on in the chat, but we'll have to chime in on that somewhere else, because we've got the rest of this quest line to get through. The next quest is called The Lock and the Legion. The Drake of Blades is in the Elven Gardens district waiting for a meeting with her contact, Captain Regulus of Legion Zero. We're just going with Regulus, who has been infiltrating Molag Bal's forces. Regulus drank a poison used to corrupt the Legion, and the Drake fears he's losing himself. You agree to find him using their secret meeting signal, drawing the Dragon Guard symbol to initiate contact. Regulus, struggling with the corruption, reveals that the Daedra have found a key to an ancient door beneath the city. He tasks you with forging a copy of the key to trick the Daedra and safeguard
Daedrats.
You gather scrap metal from Legion Zero soldiers to forge the fake key, bathe it in acid to make it look old, and meet Regulus at the groundskeeper's storehouse. Regulus helps you swap the real key with the fake one, distracting Zolgar the Brutal, who guards the key. During the switch, Regulus kills Zolgar, knowing the infighting will work to your advantage.
It'll allow them to start infighting.
Right. Successfully switching the keys, Regulus admits he's losing control due to the corruption. He hands you a report to give to the Drake and decides to end his life before becoming a liability. Regulus drinks poison, leaving you to deliver the report and the key to the Drake of Blades back at your line. So you complete the loop. Poor dude has to off himself because it's too far gone.
Do you think he actually drank poison, or did he just like get up and leave when you left and he thought he was very heroic?
He's like,
You're gone? All right, yeah, dude, it was a soda.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Goes back to town and comes up leek farmer.
He just for the rest of his days farming those leeks. Yeah, maybe. But this is interesting, because you take the key and you like break it down, make it look old, and you have to like fight this guy guarding it, and I don't know. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. All right, next quest is Knowledge is Power. In this quest, you meet the Drake of Blades in the Arboretum, where she's reading a book and frustrated by its lack of value. She explains that the Daedra have been burning books, but are keeping one locked away, suggesting its importance. You are tasked with retrieving this mysterious tome, the coded book, from a strong box that requires the Black Iron Key. You obtain the key by killing Daedra and then retrieve the book, which is guarded by a Zivkin lord named Dear God Sekeznarana, the Cauterizer.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? It rolls off the tongue.
Sekeznarana. After getting the book, you rescue Chief Archivist Sergianus, who has been captured by the Daedra. I promise I've read these names before. It's just hard to say them out loud. Sergianus tells you the book is protected by a magical cipher, and you need to find 4 spell ciphers scattered around the Arboretum to decode it. Once collected, you meet Sergianus in the ruined archives, where he decodes the book, revealing it to be called the Sublime Brazier. Or Brazier. Sublime Brazier?
Brazier. No. Well, I guess it could be a brazier.
What if it was the Sublime Brazier? It's like, those are some really nice boulder holders you got there. Written by a moth priest shortly after St. Alessia's death, the book appears to be related to the Dragonfires, a relic that prevents the Daedra from entering the relic. I feel like that was a boomer joke, boulder holders. It's like something my parents' generation would say. I'm not that old, I promise. You take the book back to the Drake of Blades at your line space. She is puzzled by the contents, and she believes the Dragon Guard should know about the Sublime Brazier, a relic used to light the dragon fires because it's just so hot. The Daedra clearly have plans for the brazier, likely seeking weaknesses. Drake plans to study the book further to understand its significance and the Daedra's intentions. But for now, the immediate danger seems over.
Oh,
so the next time I see a flame lit somewhere, I'm going to be like, oh, look at that brazier.
Yeah.
It's not a word we use in common parlance.
No, brazier is a very old timey word. The other thing that I feel is kind of weird, just in the grand scheme of things. So the chat's obviously ripping on the fact that name Shizalanka whatever. The cauterizer. So all these names are these like usually these like horrible things or whatever. But like the cauterizer, well, cauterizing thing is that like the
that helps a wound.
Good.
That helps you. That helps your wound not bleed out. That's a good thing.
So it's like, so is this? You can like actually just like totally like it's like the medic of their side.
Well, here's the thing. My guess is that they are the one who enjoys chopping, and then the pain that is done with the cauterizing afterwards. Like that's their method of torture. Is like, I'm going to cut off a finger and then cauterize it, and then I'm going to cut off another finger and then cauterize it, and you're just like, oh dear God, stop. And so they don't let you bleed out, but you also get the pain of like, you know, burning the ends of your open wounds. I'm going to vomit. Yeah. All right. So we're up to the final quest, which happens to be named the Sublime Brazier. In this quest, the Draco
Blades. We're going to screw so many people up with that, where they're going to start interchanging that.
Every time you see that word now, you're going to think Brazier.
Yeah, they're going to read it wrong, and they're going to blame you.
So in this quest, the Draco Blades reveals that Molag Bal's plan to breach the Dragonfire Cathedral and destroy the Sublime Brazier. It's now hard for me to say it any other way.
I know. Now it's going to be hard for us to not screw it up.
Yep. To prevent the Dragonfires from being relit. If successful, Mundus would be left vulnerable to Daedric invasion. Your task is to stop Molag Bal's plan. Dun, dun, dun. Before entering the cathedral, the Drake sends you to retrieve a message from the rat. Remember the rat who had us do all the fighting, which contains a cipher warning that General Malivus is already on his way to the cathedral. Fortunately, you have a key to access the cathedral through a back entrance. Father Ignatius finishes translating an ancient scroll, which describes a ritual that can turn someone into the eternal guardian of the Sublime Brazier. Can you imagine if that was your title? You're the eternal guardian of the Sublime Brazier.
Or you get a typo and it's actually Brazier in that scenario, and you don't think you're guarding what you think you're guarding.
I'm going to, tonight, when we are getting changed and, you know, getting ready for bed, and I'm going to say, hey, do you mind if I become the eternal guardian of that? That Sublime Brazier you have there, and my wife is going to look at me like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize you had suffered a head wound today.
Yes. The Drake volunteers for this task, as the guardian would be bound to the cathedral forever. With Captain Codex and Ignatius, you make your way to the cathedral to perform the ritual. Once inside, Ignatius begins the ritual, but Daedra, led by General Malivus, attack the cathedral. You and Captain Codex defend against waves of Daedra, including Dramora, winged Twilights, and a giant Daedroth. After fending off these forces, General Malivus himself attacks, and you defeat him in battle. With the ritual complete, the Drake is transformed into the guardian of the Sublime Brazier. She unleashes Akatosh's holy fire, disintegrating the Daedric army and securing the Brazier from Molag Bal's grasp. The Brazier is now safe, and Molag Bal's plans are thwarted. Afterwards, the Drake asks you to forget her and the cathedral to keep it hidden from history. She prepares to remain in the cathedral as its eternal protector while you return to your alliance base to report to Father Ignatius, who rewards you for your efforts. Dun, 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 dun. Ba, 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 da.
Nope, wrong series.
Oh, crap. Crap.
So, yeah, this is exactly my point. Like, you help the Drake of Blades basically complete this quest, but she's the main one and she's the new guardian, and you go back off to do whatever. It's like, yeah, go tell the others of my great success and forget this ever happened.
Yeah, basically bury the cathedral back up.
Yeah,
I'm gonna hide down here in a little hidey hole, and if everything goes well, I will be here eternally for the rest of time, and no one will ever know it.
Yes.
You know what that sounds like? Oh, this is spoilers. If you guys haven't watched some of the MCU episodes, I'm not going to bring it up. Some of the TV show stuff. This sounds like a recent MCU TV show.
All right, fair.
I'm just going to say that. But yeah, there's, you know, I mean, that's quite the price to pay to keep Mundus safe.
It is. The cathedral fight is very cool. I actually think the design of the cathedral is really good, too. But I really, in general, liked that fight quite a bit. and the fact that it was down there the whole time, but it was buried, lost, whatever the situation, it was kind of a neat little thing that you actually get to encounter it. And the idea is just like, okay, yeah, we used what we needed, things worked out, forget this, like, bury this up, it was buried for a reason.
It's buried for a reason. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of cool though, like the idea of the fact that Tamriel is old enough, even by the second era, to have these locations that have been buried and lost to time is really cool. And it's not just like Dwemer structures or alien ruins. Yeah, this is like, this was in the Imperial City. This was part of the city that's now underneath the current city. Just like in a lot of, like if you go to Rome or London, or heck, New York City even has stuff, tunnels, parts of the city that have been like, are now underneath the actual ground line, because the ground line keeps increasing and moving up as they add new construction and they change the way the city works. This is the way real locations work and function. You know, heck, there's an underground in Atlanta. Like, even in American cities, which are not that old compared to most cities across the world, this is how it works. And that's really cool. It's really like, I want more of these like hidden underground locations that aren't just caves and they aren't just alien ruins or Dwemer ruins or something like that. They are parts of the culture that you are a part of, like old Nord settlements or, you know, Imperial settlements, or who knows what's underneath some of those elven cities that have been around forever.
Right. So that's something that I feel is a good point that you just brought up. So it's one thing, like there are a lot of fantasy has like lost cultures and civilizations and they're just like buried or whatever. But to your point, the cool thing about the way the Elder Scrolls is and the lore is so like filled out and rich, it's places that are active have just waves of like production that have happened. And it's like, well, yeah, this part of town. I mean, not always, because Windhelm is oddly still basically the same after like 1,000 years or whatever.
Right.
But a lot of these situations, you'll see like, this is, you know, the previous version of this. So then this was built on top of it. And then this was built on top of that. And it's like, it's not just all lost civilizations. It's advancement of civilizations that exist as well. It's a good mix. And some things, you know, again, I do like to joke about some of the things like how durable is that wood inside an Ene when you land in Vardenfell? Because it's been there for forever.
Yeah, the wood just doesn't decay somehow. Yeah.
Right. But yeah. I mean, they could just keep replacing it over and over again. That's true. It's just kind of like a funny concept that it's never changed over the years. But other areas do evolve. And that evolution is kind of interesting when they do. I actually wish they would do it a little more frequently, honestly, because it makes the world feel like it's aging. And it's like, it's advancing over time because you can see what was, and it's not some lost civilization. It's just like, yeah, we don't do that. So I always thought in the, the Blue Keep, the wing from Pelagius when he loses his mind.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just like this band. It's like, no, we just don't deal with that wing. And it's just like left to, and it's just full of cobwebs and just like, you can see where he lost it. And they're just like, yeah, we don't touch that.
We don't go
there. And
when
you go in there, it's like, oh, cool. This looks like a thing that's just not used anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So I want more of that. Elder Scrolls 6 dev team.
Yeah.
Get on it.
Do that.
Do that. Do that.
That will make us happy.
Yeah. Or heck, ESO. I mean, we get some places that are like underground, you know, like places in Skyrim, you go down into like the other.
Actually an interesting one.
Yeah.
The whole idea of Blackreach was so much more accessible at this time period.
Right.
And it has basically had so many cave-ins and the mining towns actually were just kind of like, not even so much abandoned, but like they were collapsed and stuff like that, and then eventually left. And it's like by the time of Skyrim, not a lot of Blackreach is accessible, and it's really just kind of like degraded so much as opposed to the mining towns we see and all these like uses of Dwemer structure integrated with the people of Tamriel now on how to get stuff out of Blackreach. And then it's like you know, over the years, Blackreach has basically just fallen into disrepair, where it's just like, oh yeah, this is the Labyrinth Cave network is almost completely like buried at this point. And then it's just, you got Farmer living down there or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different scenario than it was before.
Yeah. And it totally makes sense that if you had access to Blackreach, that you would have mining companies down there getting those minerals and the things out of the ground. Cause it's a lot easier to take an elevator shaft or something down into Blackreach to then start mining than to try to mine down there by yourself from the surface.
Oh yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. So it makes sense that that would be a thing, but it also makes sense that it would be very dangerous and then it would be collapsing. And after another 1,000 years or so, it's not really the place you want to go down anymore. So yeah, totally makes sense. Well, that's going to wrap up the story of the Imperial City. And this is another fun one. We'll be continuing these zone stories in future updates. And of course, we'll be chatting with our patrons again at the end of this month, which is coming up in 4 weeks. So if you sign up between now and then, you'll be able to join us for that on the Patreon. And Lotus, you got anything else going on you want to share?
So obviously I'm going to be available to join as much as possible, but things are going to be pretty hectic for me, very, very soon. So we'll see what I can do. But, one of the big things that I was actually glad that we could get the first part of it out, we recorded an episode of Tales of Tamriel, presented by the Unofficial Elder Scrolls Pages, and their wonderful knowledge that we use for the show. So I had alluded to the fact that I was given a copy of the Elder Scrolls board game, Betrayal of the Second Era, from Ship Theory Games. And we devoted last weekend, me and some of my friends, shout out to Delta912, Jacqueline, and Mechafishy, for basically sitting down, and we spent I used as much as my free time as I could. We played the board game for about 10 hours.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot. Yeah.
It was. And basically, I gave a full storyline. Like, I kind of tried to write it as if I was telling an adventure that we went through, but in terms of the board game. And really, really enjoyed it. It's still what I called kind of like a first look, because it's like there's so many campaigns, we didn't finish that campaign yet. But if you are interested in the Betrayal of the Second Era board game and my thoughts on it, the most recent episode of Tales of Tamriel is basically a big review of that, and we fully intend to play it more when we can get the time to all meet up in person, play, do that, and complete out the stories, because they are really, it's a fun board game, and it feels like you're playing the game in just like a real, like, tangible setting, which is an interesting thing that I sort of wasn't expecting. It feels like you're playing it. It took the learning curve is steep to get started, but once you get the hang of it, we actually started to get pretty efficient. So our future sessions, it probably going to be a lot faster.
After 10 hours. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, even just unpackaging it, it's 24 pounds or 26 pounds worth of stuff.
Lots of little tchotchkes and
a lot of stuff. And it is, like I said, if you're interested in my full review of my time with it, check out the newest episode of Tales of Tamriel. We kind of went as in-depth as possible, but hope to get more time with it. It's also a lot of fun, and I'm very impressed with it. They've really done a good job, in my opinion, with it so far.
Nice. Well, that's exciting. Yeah, I'll have to check out your episode. Go check out Tales of Tamriel for that. And by the way, we still have a random page coming, so don't leave yet.
We sure do. Speaking of the UESP.
Yeah. But I've been busy, of course, with all my podcasts and shows. I've been trying to stream more. I've been playing some Skyrim, highly modded, but then also Fallout 4 with a crowd control mod where you guys can spawn things into my game. And that has been nuts lately. It's been a lot of fun. So come by Twitch, twitch.tv/robotsradio for that stuff. Usually afternoons, like 2 or 3 times a week. And let's see. Rings of Power is out. So I've been talking about that in the Lord of the Rings lore cast. So if you're checking out Rings of Power, you want to hear my thoughts and opinions on each of those episodes, those are up. And I guess the fourth episode came out today. So I got to go go watch that and talk about that soon. So lots of cool stuff. And if you're confused about the world and the lore of those things, go back to the beginning and listen through it. I explain everything in very, very detailed but easy to digest bites. So that'll help everyone out. So go check that stuff out. And then we've got our random page. You guys ready for our random? I still need a song or something. Random Skyrim. Let's see. Maybe one of these buttons. Let's see what this does. Random Skyrim page. Okay, that was not the right sound to use. I don't know. Did that come through for you, Lotus? Could you hear that?
I got some beeps.
Yeah, it doesn't feed to you the same way it does for me.
It does not. But I'm not gonna lie. That's sort of other than like a wacky spring sound effect. Oh, I really don't.
It was a little like a do 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 do. It's a little like a anyway. So this is our random page. This is from Skyrim. Shogar's Grow Batol. Shogar's Grobatol is a dead orc that can be found during Blood in the Water, the Blood in the Water quest. He wears a rough spun tunic and carries his journal. He's just a dead guy. I hit them. This is what you get when you just hit the random button. Just a dead guy. He's a level one orc bandit. He's at Lost Knife Hideout. He has zero health because he's dead. He's got 25 magicka for some reason. There you go. That's it. It's part of the Blood in the Water quest.
So that's incredible.
It's just a dead orc. It's like a dead guy. I didn't realize that they even just like listed dead people that you could come across. Like, that's so funny.
That gives context when you're like, all right, that's a random page for sure. Yep. Like you're in the show.
Yep.
Yeah. You never know what you're going to get with the Unofficial Elder Scrolls pages. Random page.
That was our random page.
Our random page.
Okay. That's it. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll be back next week with another Zone story for you all. Probably the Dark Brotherhood. And until then, stay safe out there. And, you know, if you come across a random dead orc, then make sure you report it and, you know, create a page on the UASP about it.
And keep those braziers lit.
Keep those braziers lit. We'll see you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.